Section B. Parents talk.
After Sandy had left for school, Jane Finch sat down in peace and quiet to drink her coffee. She sipped slowly and tried to read the newspaper. Soon her husband joined her. "Would you like some coffee, Steve?" asked Jane. "No thanks, honey. My stomach feels upset. Like it's full of knots. It's probably that awful music that wakes me up every morning. I don't think I'm old-fashioned, but hearing those tuneless, offensive lyrics repeatedly makes my blood boil. There is no message to them either. I can't believe Sandy really likes that stuff. You know, honey, different music appeals to different generations," reasoned Jane. "Remember some of the music we listened to?" Steve smiled. "You're right. Maybe eating breakfast will help me get rid of some of the knots in my stomach." "I'll get you some juice," she offered, starting to get up. "That's okay," said Steve. "I'll get it. You're reading." "I'm not really reading. I'm distracted. I've been thinking about Sandy, too." Steve prepared his breakfast and then sat down with his wife. She gave him a section of the newspaper, and they both tried to read for a few minutes. Then Jane broke the silence. "Did you notice how much makeup our 15-year-old daughter was wearing this morning? When I asked about it, she told me she's been wearing eyeliner for months. I can't believe I never noticed. I suppose we should feel lucky, because makeup is our biggest problem with her. I've seen other teenagers walking around town with tattoos and piercings all over their bodies, in their eyebrows, their noses, everywhere. I suppose they're expressing their identity. But it's so very different from what we did."
"Is it so different?" asked Steve. "I remember defying my parents when I grew my hair long. Remember? It was so long, it was down below my shoulders. And you almost got expelled from school," added Jane.
"That's true, but my hair could be cut. These tattoos are permanent. Tattoos seem radical to me."
"Actually, tattoos can be removed," said Jane.
"It's painful and expensive, but they can be removed. Every generation seems to need to identify itself."
"What worries me," said Steve, "is that music has a very negative message. It could have a negative influence on Sandy. I don't know what's happening to our little girl.
She's changing and I'm concerned about her. Makeup, terrible music, who knows what will be next? We need to have a talk with her. The news is full of stories about teenagers in trouble whose parents hardly know anything about their problems. Oh, I don't think her music is so terrible. I like it, said Jane. You like it? You know I like loud, weird music. Anyway, you're right. We need to have a talk with Sandy, agreed Jane. Jane glanced at the clock. Oh, dear, I'm late, she moaned. I have to run or I'll be late for my first appointment. She kissed her husband quickly, picked up her briefcase, and started for the door. Bye, honey, called Jane. Bye, dear, answered Steve. As Jane Finch drove to work, she thought about her children, Sandy and Bill. Sandy is beginning to mature, she thought. Soon she'll be dating and going out. But I don't want her wasting her time talking on the phone and watching TV. I want her to do well in school and to continue her music. How can I tell her these things? I don't want her to get angry with me. If I'm too strict, she'll rebel. I often worry she may rebel and go too far. So many young girls rebel, drop out of school, and get into all kinds of trouble. Sometimes they even run away from home. I wouldn't want that to happen to Sandy. Jane knew what she wanted to say, what she had to say to Sandy. She was so glad that she and Sandy could still talk things over. She knew she had to have patience and keep the lines of communication with her daughter open. She wanted to be there as an anchor for her. But at the same time, she would give her freedom to find her own identity.